1 Samuel chapter 17. Over the last few weeks, I have been picking out little different parts of the scripture passage, but I've encouraged you to go home and to read the entire story, the entire passage. And again, this is a very, very familiar story. It's a story of David and Goliath. It's a story that many people inside and outside of the church know, and it's one that kind of stimulates a lot of imagination in the minds of many people. It's also one that we hear quoted within our society time and time again, that proverbial David and Goliath or David versus Goliath situation in our society. And yet, sometimes I think when we look at this passage and when we think about this passage, we get caught up in that and that alone. We get caught up in the battle. And that's where we take the lesson from. But the battle is really the end. The story begins much sooner. And it's a lesson, really, that we need to learn and we need to understand as we move into our lives and live our lives on this earth. And so, again, I just really encourage you to take a look at this story and to hopefully listen to the words that God's given me and say, hey, how does this apply to my life and to where I'm at? I also want you to think about Matthew 17, verse 21, where in Matthew 17, 21, what God says is basically, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And I also put that into this Old Testament story and marry the two together. But back again to David's life, and David and Goliath. We've been looking at these pivotal events in his life. We've been looking at how they affected his life and the people of Israel and the future of Israel. And here we have this young kid who just a few chapters ago was anointed by Samuel, who was identified as the heir apparent to the king of Israel. And now, already, he's being thrown into a position where he is being put up as the future, shall we say. We know that, we talked about when he was anointed, and when all of his brothers were passed over, there had to be some hard feelings. And yet again, in this story, if you read, you see that his brothers were upset with him yet again, that he ends up at the front line, and how in the world does this keep happening? There's all sorts of dynamics going on. There's the dynamic that going on where Saul is supporting this young man who he's attracted to, and yet he doesn't understand that he is, again, the heir apparent. There are people around him asking questions, saying, why are we looking to this young boy to lead our future, to potentially go into battle here against this giant? There are tons of things that are going on time and time again. And yet what I'd like us to think about, just as a place to start, is this. In verses 38 through 40, it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. This is the word of God. The word of God that paints a picture, if you would, of David kneeling down at a stream. And as he kneels down at the stream, He opens himself to all that is around him. And so often when we think of this story, we think of Goliath, the giant. But it's not the only giant in the room, shall we say. As he kneels at that stream, that brook, and as he selects those stones that he will take with him, on one side you have the battle that is Goliath, and on the other side you have the battle which is Saul, the people of Israel. And it's there that it all comes together in a way that, again, we have to think much, much earlier than just the battle of David and Goliath. This is a phenomenal children's story. I mean, I don't know about many of you, but when I grew up, we used to hear about David and Goliath all the time. And it was a great story that you could read, and it was one that, again, filled your mind and your imagination with what was going on. There was even that Sunday school song. Anybody help me here? I remember the part that said, "And round and round and round and round." And as a kid, you remember that, and you sing those songs, and you think, what an amazing story. But then we grow up. And as we grow up, we tend to become much more factual. Now, what do I mean? The way one writer put it, and I love this is a story. It's a story of David and Goliath. It's a story that talks about conquering things that are bigger than you. Again, it's used throughout our society still today. It lives and it breathes. But as we get older, and as we become more and more educated, we tend to move towards mathematical equations. I apologize for at least one engineer that I know who's here today. But we say 2 + 2 is what? 3 × 3 = 9, right? What's my point? Does that ever change? Jerry Hogendorn is here. I know she is. She's 90 years old. 2 + 2 = 4 90 years ago. And 2 + 2 is still today 4. But the story of David and Goliath lives on. And stories in our lives that really impact us change and grow. And though the story of David and Goliath might have meant one thing, as I sat in a Sunday school room and I sang the song and I thought about this amazing story of God's people, it means a completely different thing when I'm how many years old and the doctor says, "You've got cancer." In that equation, it's not 2 + 2, it's something different. And stories live, and stories breathe, and stories grow, and that's the whole idea with God, is that he wants this story not just to stay in 1 Samuel 17, not just to stay in Sunday school, but to live and to grow with us, so that we might continue to be enriched and nurtured by it as we grow as adults. You see, the problem is that we hear these children's stories and we use our imagination and we learn about good and evil and we learn about love and hate, but as we get older, we lose something. And when we get older, we forget. And we get older and everything becomes an equation. We get older and we forget about our sensitivity to love, our sensitivity to good, our sensitivity to acceptance. And we become people of equations. And this story, as I've said, is not so much about this giant and this boy, but it's about a boy's imagination. It's about David's imagination. Now you say, what are you talking about, Paul? They put a boy up against a rock star. I mean, they took a young man and said, you're going to go into the ring against the world champion heavyweight boxer. They took a boy and they said, you know what? We're going to send you into the battlefield alone, and you expect to win for all of us. Most of us in this place here are adults. If your son or your daughter came home and said, listen, I just found out that I'm going into battle against the world champions. I'm going alone, and you know what? It's going to be good. Our adult minds say what? You're crazy. Our adult minds say, don't go. Because 2 + 2 = 4. But in this passage, what we learn about is David's imagination. It's an imagination that is God acquired. That in the midst of the giant, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of troops surrounding him, he kneels down at a stream, becomes completely vulnerable, picks up these stones, and in his mind has a plan how to conquer this giant, and believes he can do it. He's nuts. But he's nuts because God gave him the imagination to dream it. God gave him the spirit to know that he could do it. And as a young man, as someone not so corrupted by the formulas of life yet, he believed he could do it. I truly believe that somebody who was 60 years old couldn't have done it, because we would have thought of all the reasons why not, instead of having the imagination of God within us. David said, I can, and all the others said, are you crazy? I mean, even Goliath says, you throw this little dog out at me? And he laughed at David. His brothers said again, are you crazy? First you select him to be the king, and now you're throwing him out to win this battle? Are you nuts? All the people around him, as they watched this unfold, had to say, 2 + 2 = 4, and in this case, this isn't going to be good. This poor kid's getting led to the slaughter. And yet David had an imagination. David could see something that no one else could. David believed in a living God, Yahweh, and the ability to work with and through him. And David knew he could do it. You see, as we grow, we lose it. And we say we can't. And this story is really about we can. I mean, again, we come back to those 5 stones that he selects in the stream. And I just want you to think about those 5 stones. Again, you have to imagine the Philistine army on one side, the army of Israel on the other, Goliath waiting for the battle to begin. And this little kid takes the time to go over to a stream, kneel down, select 5 stones. As Goliath is hurling insults, as people around him are wagering on the fight that's going to happen, he kneels down. He imagines that stone in his hand and says, yeah, this is a good one. This will do the job. And he puts it in his bag. Picks up that other one. Boy, that's another nice one. That's a good one. And he puts it in his bag. You got to believe that he picked out the one that he thought, this is going to be my first toss. This is the best one. And he imagined it going forward. He imagined it getting the job done. At the same token, he's kneeling there, and the other giant is speaking. Saul's there. Saul's giving him his tunic. Saul's giving him his sword and his helmet. Saul's sitting there saying, what am I doing? This equation doesn't make sense, and yet I'm sending this boy into battle. And all this is going on, and David still believes I can win. He can imagine the victory. He can imagine taking out this giant. And we need to understand that as we grow and as we sit by the stream of life, that what happens is evil creeps in. Satan creeps in. And when that happens, our imagination goes down. Evil goes up, imagination down. When we see the evil of life, when we see terrorist attacks, when we see that life is a challenge, when we get those things that we struggle with, and Satan begins to win and erode and say, you know what, life is just that equation, 2 + 2, it's always 4. Our imagination goes down. Our God-given, our God-inspired imagination to believe that we can defeat giants goes down. And yet here David, by the stream, selecting those rocks, surrounded by a giant on one side he must defeat and a giant on the other side that he's going to have to embrace, holds on to the imagination that God has given him to face this challenge. I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like life is filled with these giants. And when you think about your life as we grow, it's easy to forget. I look at these kids up here, and they don't know what it means that healthcare is going to change in our world in 2014. And that some of us will lose health benefits. Some of us will try to figure out what Obamacare means. Some of us will continue to go uninsured completely. They don't know. Because that's an equation that they don't worry about. But we do as adults. And our imagination goes away. Those kids don't know that the economy, yeah, it's recovering, but the cost of living is crazy. And gas is almost $4 a gallon. And how in the world are you ever going to pay your bills? It's an equation. Only so much money comes in, only so much money can go out. And our imagination continues to dwindle. These kids lay on that floor and they look up and they can see things because they believe in the possibilities of life. But how many of us have given up already? How many of us buy into you're born, you pay taxes, and you die? You see, David wasn't there. David believed he could take this giant. David believed he could become king. David believed in the God-given imagination. And he embraced it. He embraced it so much that, again, you read and you see that Saul gives him his armor. He tries it on. And when he tries it on, he says, you know, this is just not going to work. I'm not used to it. It's heavy. It's too big. I can't move. And he takes off all the protection. And it says later on, and he ran to the battlefield. He took off the armor. He went with what he knew best, that little sling, those five little stones, and he ran into the battle because he could imagine himself winning. Because God had given him a vision that said, this is not the end. Because it wasn't simply 2 + 2 = 4, or in his case, 10 - 2 = 8, you're going to lose. It was God's put me here. God's asked me to do this. It sounds crazy, but I got my rocks, and I'm taking that giant down. God-given imagination. God-given ability to see. To see the possibilities of life. Matthew 17:21, if we only had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. If you're 12 or older, chances are you're saying, Pastor, come on. They just wrote that in there. Come on. Something happens where we say, that's a nice scripture verse, but come on. Faith to move mountains? We've lost our imagination. And David reminds us in this passage that we need that imagination to see the possibilities that God has for our lives. I'm not saying that the things of life go away. I'm not saying that the challenges go away. But if we continually live with an equation that says, you've got cancer, therefore you're dead. You've lost your job, therefore you're living under a bridge homeless. You're not getting along with your wife or your husband, therefore you're getting a divorce. If we live with those equations, then we die. But if we can continue with a God-given imagination that God has a plan, that God has a victory around the corner for us, that God is in control and not you and me, then we can live like David and kneel down in the face of the Goliaths of life, the giants of life, pick the stones up, and run to the battle and win. So take some time today. Lay on your back in the front yard. Look at the clouds. Listen. Let God speak. Don't let the news shout in your ear. Don't let the stock market shout in your ear. Don't let the doctor's appointments shout in your ear. Don't listen. But dream. Look to God. Listen for God. And run into the battle of life knowing that God is